have any children that are age 4 to age 10, there is a Super Sunday going on downstairs. So if you guys hear noises coming through the floor, that's what it is. So we're going to, if any kids want to go downstairs, that'd be great. Huh? Or no, we don't want any more adults to leave. Okay, so we're going to get started this morning. And this morning, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but if you know the story of Gideon in the Bible, it's like you almost say, you know, Lord, if this happens or if that happens, then I'll do this or I'll do that. And I'm terrible about, I mean, I did that a lot when I was younger, and I haven't done it before. You know, a lot since then. But I did this morning. I said, Lord, if you really want me to say what you've put on my heart to say, I need confirmation. And that's really what I was looking for. And I got it this morning. And so as I was thinking about opening this morning, I've gone through a real, a lot of us have gone through a real emotional week. We lost a friend and we went to the funeral this week. And even though we know that she's with the Lord, she was a pastor's wife. It still hurts to lose your friend. And it seems like it just was too soon. So my mind has been a lot dwelling on those kind of things this week. And the Lord just said this morning, okay, now listen, Gaylen, you have to get your eyes off what this week has held for you. And you have got to get your eyes on me. You just have to. And so I got to thinking about an old song, a chorus that we sang in church years and years ago, and it's the verse is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. I mean full. That means no other things outside of your glimpse, but look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, the pains, the hurts, the sadness, the disappointment, even your sin, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And this morning I get a real sense that he wants his glory to fall this morning on us. So if you would stand with me, we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to truly try our hardest and ask for him to be the one that helps us to turn our eyes off of the things of the earth and get them fully on his face, fully on his glory, and fully on his grace. I got a text message this morning. For those of you that know Pastor Sharon, she was going to be here this morning, but she's having some health issues, and this morning is a little bit difficult for her. So we're going to lift Pastor Sharon to the Lord. And any other needs, if you have a need, lift your hand to the Lord as you say it out loud, and I'll lift Pastor Sharon, and we'll go before the throne of grace this morning, asking God's blessing on today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you because you made a way for us to do so. And Father, we just lift this service to you this morning, God. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would right now reach down and touch any hand, the need that it reflects, touch that need, God, as you touch Pastor Sharon. Bring wholeness and health to her body, God. We lift her to you, God, knowing that you have her life in your very hands, in your very heart, Lord, and that you're going to touch her in Jesus' name. So, Father, just be with her, strengthen her, revive her, heal her in Jesus' name. Father, we just choose this morning to put our eyes on you, solely, 100% wholly on you, God. Let the things of the earth, things of this week, things in our life, God, grow strangely dim as we gaze fully in your face. Let your glory reign in Jesus' name. Let's worship him this morning with all our heart. Amen.
Jesus. How beautiful are you, Lord? It's your words. It's your love. How glorious are you, Lord? It's your power. It was your cross that saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there, it set me free. I give you glory, glory, glory. It's your words. It's your love. Oh, how glorious are you, Lord. It's your power. It was your cross. Come on, that saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there, you set me free. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus, I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus. And with a crown of thorns, you became my King forever. And with a crown of thorns, you became my King forever. And with a crown of thorns, you became my King forever. And with a crown of thorns, you became my King forever. That saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there, you set me free. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus, I give you glory. Worship God in this house today. Doesn't it feel like the stronghold just melts away when we give Him glory and we just enter into His presence with gladness? Come on. Woo! We thank you, Jesus, for this day, God. You're so glorious. We just love you, Father. I give you glory. I give you glory, glory.
Practice this morning, Lynette read out of Jesus Calling, and this song kind of flows right with what it was saying, and I'm just going to give you the Stevens rendition of it. Basically, the enemy comes in and he distracts us and he gets us off our game, if you will, and tries to mess us up. And the easiest way to get back into the mindsets and get back and bring your spirit into alignment is just to whisper his name, Jesus. Jesus. When everything can be crumbling around you, the easiest way to say, God, just get that peace of the Lord is just to say, Jesus. Jesus. And so many times we're like, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I'm dealing with this. And we forget that it's just in the small whisper of his name, and the enemy has to flee. Not he might flee. No, the enemy has to flee. So I just want us to bring that up again. And just as a congregation, we're just going to say his name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
My heart will sing. No other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus.
For those of you that were here last week, the Lord called forth 4 to 6 people and asked them to build a relationship with Him, to start again, to be healed, refreshed, and renewed, and walk with Him anew. By the end of the service, it seemed like only 2 people were willing to dedicate themselves to that. And today the Lord is saying, I am still standing. My name is still God. I am still your Father. And I am waiting. I am waiting for you to come to me, to renew your love with me. And there is a river of anointing oil that is running right down this aisle for you to be cleansed, for us to be blessed, for us to fall in love again with our Father. Just say yes. Just say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
is at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing
in this place today. And I believe God wants to do something in all of us. I'm going to do something I don't normally do, kind of step out of my comfort zone, but I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody. And as I was in the back playing, there's a handful of people that just feel like they're getting drugged through the dirt. They can't seem to just rise above the circumstances of life, whether it be in the physical or in the spiritual, but you're just like, man, I really feel like crap. And I can say that because all the kids are downstairs. But if that's you, I want you to just go ahead and raise your hand. There's just a handful of people that are just feeling like, man, I just haven't felt the presence of God lately. Okay, you can put your hands down. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. We're going to open up the altars, and we're going to have some people meet with you and agree with you in prayer. So as we bring up this next song, I want you to step out in faith and say, God, I'm ready. I want you to take that physical step to say, okay, God, I want to rise above this. I need your help. I can't do this on my own right now. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of dealing with this stuff. So we're going to bring that up, and we're going to have some people up here that are ready to pray with you.
Father, we just enter into your throne room right now with boldness and humility, with passion, Lord, and respect and trepidation. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come before you with every need, with every desire, with every fault and every fear. We can just lay it at your feet, God. And that's what we choose to do today, Lord. We enter into your throne room. We come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, and we find help right now, Lord, for our souls. Right now, Lord, for our beings, Lord, that are weakened and maybe distracted from life, as was said earlier. God, we lay it down right now at your feet. We enter in to your throne room, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. Thank you, Jesus, for your flesh being ripped and torn. Now we can boldly go through the veil that once separated man and God, and we can stand face to face with our Father, the God who loves us. Thank you, our kinsman redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We enter in today. We enter in today, Lord. Yes, we enter in. Don't let the ticking of your watch take away the presence of God. Waiting literally sometimes requires waiting. Who would have thought? Sometimes you actually need to stop what you're doing. Be still. Just know that He is God. We enter in to your throne room, oh God. Yes, we do. We enter in to your throne room, oh God. Let's just enter in right now. We enter in to your throne room, oh God. Yes, Lord, we enter in. We receive, Lord, the grace, mercy, peace for our troubled souls right now. I just release the glory of God in this place. I release the truth of the Word of God. I release the truth of the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Every troubled heart, every heavy mind, every heavy heart, I just release the glory of God and the truth of God in this place. Right now, over every life, right now that's hearing my voice, whether here or on the internet, right now, I just release the truth of the Holy Spirit over your life right now. Every lie, every deception, every scheme of the enemy is being exposed right now in Jesus' mighty name, and the truth that will make you free is being made known to your heart right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes. No lie can stand in your presence. No lie can make it in. The truth is being exposed to our hearts, to our minds, to our spirits, and every part of us right now, we're being drenched in the truth that's making us free right now in Jesus' name. We enter in to your throne room, oh God. Yes, we do. We enter in to your throne room, oh God. Yes, we do right now. We enter in to your throne room, oh God. We bask in the truth. We saturate ourselves right now in the truth. We reject every lie. We embrace every truth right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can stand in your presence. It's not of you. So we stand whole. We stand full of God right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is unusual, but I want to give another opportunity for you to come up, because I feel there's some, I know that made a response for the challenge that Stephen said, but I want to give an opportunity for someone, maybe several of you, that just need to enter into his throne room. See, because there's things that keep us from passing that point of really seeing him face to face. Now, face-to-face is different for all of us. Some literally get to experience what his face looks like. Others just get to, by faith, believe that they're standing face-to-face. Jesus says that more blessed are those who never see me and believe than you who are seeing me right now. He told his disciples that. So if you've never seen him, even in your spirit, if you never had a chance to glimpse him, and that's personally me, I only see Jesus by faith, but it gets getting clearer and clearer every day. How about anyone else? Clearer and clearer is his face, even though I don't naturally see it, and I don't see it with eyes closed. I wish I could, but I've never had that privilege. But every day his face gets clearer and clearer to me by faith. So if that's you, I really believe we need to take this opportunity, because I think some of you are going to see more of him. More of him. Because see, it's not about what's done here by us. It's about what he does. Now, if he does it through us, then that's praise God. But it's about what he does. And I believe that he wants some of us, including myself, to draw closer to him. As close as we can get. The Lord gave me a song this morning. I want to be so close. I feel your breath. That's close. I want to be so close that I hear your heartbeat. That's intimacy. That's the bosom of the Father. That's who Jesus was. He was in the bosom of the Father. The very heart of God was Jesus' nature. And I believe that's what he has for us. And we would just be pushing the will of the Lord out of the way if we said, okay, well, now it's time to move on. Like my brain is ticking there. I'm not wearing a watch, but the second hand was ticking for me just as well. But it's not about the order of the service. It's about the heart that needs to be touched right now. And maybe yours. Maybe somebody next to you, that when they get touched, it's going to take them into another level in God. So let's just enter in to his throne room to find grace and help and see his face. Can we just do this? Maybe some of you are going to do it right at your seat. Some of you will literally need to come up here. But I believe there's a grace being released right now to see, either by your spirit's eyes or just increase that faith in your heart, that you see and you know your God, you know your Savior, you know your Father.
And I see redemption.
God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God, for freedom. Thank you, Lord, for liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. We thank you, Lord, that there's liberty right here in this house today. But God, I pray that it would not just remain in this house and then us leave and be back again bound with the chains and the shackles that have held us. Lord, I pray, God, that every home represented here today, every workplace, every place of recreation, God, that your presence would go. Lord, that as we go, you go with us. And Lord, that freedom would remain. Lord, just as you asked us, Lord, to bear fruit and fruit that would remain, Lord, we pray, God, that there would be freedom and that freedom would remain, God, in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that as we know the truth, it makes us free. So we receive today, God, all the freedom that has been purchased for us, all the freedom that's entitled to us, all the freedom that the love of God has poured out on us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We walk in freedom. We live in freedom. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There's someone here today that when you walk out that door, the Lord wants you to look back behind you and look at the pile of chains that have been holding you. And just thank Him. And remember that they were left here at the altar. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, God. Worship you, Lord.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. God is so good. Freedom. 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 Hallelujah. Where do we go from here? I don't release the children, do I? Why don't you take a moment and hug on somebody? Give opportunity for the team to... Praise God. I'm getting to be such a Jesus junkie. I just love His presence. I'm like, Lord, do we have to go on? Yes, you have to go on. Wow. real quickly, is it this Friday? Next Friday. So I'm out early. Not this coming Friday. I would say, not next, is next Friday the...
Not this Friday.
Steve and I always go about, what's this Friday, next Friday? How about a week from this Friday will be our 24/7 prayer. There's sheets back there. So if you'd like to pick up some, you can pick them up here. They'll be in here next week. I wanted to, last week it was really kind of getting close whether or not we were going to have a nursery. And I know we've sent around a nursery board before, but I just wanted to send one around again and let you guys know that we are in need of nursery workers, and it preferably female. I mean, a couple can help, but it's pretty non-standard. So this is for all of you people who have the love of God in you and want to share that with our babies. And what's that? Many hands make light work. Very good. Heard that before. But before I send this around, I just want to take a moment and have Angela Hohner stand up and give her a round of applause. She's been doing this now for a couple of years. And thank you, Angela. Appreciate it. But if you want to sign up for this, if you're not part of the nursery team, you know, you don't have to have it so that you're doing it, you know, every single week. I think she's trying to get enough people, so you don't have to do it that often. But I think there needs to be, you know, a good team down there and people who have hearts for children. And I would do it, but, you know, I'm wrong gender, and then I probably would not know how to change a diaper. It's been so long. So just being honest and truthful here. So I'll start it here. Make sure you pass it all the way around. You can pass it to just the women, unless you guys want to sign up your wife. That should be good. What's that? And? Huh? I know. So she's filling it out right now, but I understand that this is a special day for you. It's Tara's birthday. Happy birthday. Do you want to say how many, or is that like it's getting to the place where you...
27.
Yeah, you forget after a while. Purposefully forget. Okay. Yeah, speech. And I want to say hi to Valerie. Hi, Val. Is that Reggie with you? This is your soon-to-be husband with you. Hi, God bless you. Stand up, guys. They're going to be married this week. Praise the Lord. Today, again, was One Life Kids Super Sunday. It's going to be the last Sunday of every month. So what is that next? I don't know what the next date is, but what's that? This is the last Sunday. Oh, One Life Super Sunday Kids. The One Life Kids, yes, Super Sunday. Sorry, I should have explained that. It'll be at 10:30 a.m., and they get to have the whole service. And I was down there a little bit earlier. It looks like they're going to have a great time. September 14th, not the 10th. You got a bulletin before Josh fixed it. And I forgot to fix it this morning. September 14th, we're going to have our Saturday men's breakfast, 9:30 a.m. Yep. One person's excited. Must not be cooking. Anyway. September 16th, we're going to have our 90-day challenge. How many remember the 90-day challenge? It's a big challenge, but it's not as big this time. We're going to do 90 days through the New Testament. Come on, we can all do that, right? 90 days through the New Testament as a church, as a body. Won't that be awesome? Yeah, I think I can even make that. That's good. what's that? Less reading. There's less reading. Yeah, it's like it's smaller, and New Testament's a great book. Okay. October 12th will be in the men's transformed. October 19th will be the women's transformed. A couple weeks we'll have envelopes, but if you need those dates off, it's a Saturday. Goes from 8 to basically 8, 12 hours. And it's an amazing time. Great experience. Oh, yes. My wife's reminding me that September 15th is national. Not international, but I'm sure it's international too. But National Back to Church Day. So if you're not in church, get back in church. No, it's actually to invite your friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers.
back to church. So it's going to be an all-out effort. There's probably going to be commercials on TV and all that stuff. So get on the bandwagon and invite somebody. But let me tell you, don't just invite them because it's September 15th. Invite them because you love them and you know that they need the presence of God in their lives. That would be even better. So they could come next week. You don't have to wait till the 15th to invite them. Okay. Anybody ready for the Bible? Amen. What do you got? No, I'm just kidding.
Come on. We've got technology issues here. Hang on. Major technology issues going on. Okay. That's not working. Praise the Lord. No. It won't even turn off. Maybe I do need yours. Hello. There we go. I'm good. So while that's restarting, last week we had an amazing testimony. Yeah. My father-in-law. How many were blessed? Yeah. So as with all of our messages, sometimes there's technical difficulties, but the majority of all our messages are online at onelifefamilyworship.org. And I encourage you, if you weren't here last week, to get that message and hear basically the testimony of the healing power of Jesus that's working right now in our day. Not just now, but as the Lord has led him his whole life and guided him into the place where he has a kind of relationship that that he just, you know, can be Jesus' friend, be his son. Okay, let me try to restart this. So, that He's Alive song, I haven't heard that for years. That just brings tears to my eyes because it's so true. I remember when it was in the 70s. I'm dating myself, obviously. And I was just newly saved, and that song came on the radio, and I was just, like, blown away with it. It just, like, gripped my heart. And, you know, sometimes, you know, just because a song is old doesn't mean that you have to, you know, put it on the shelf and never listen to it again. I've been playing the guitar recently, and it's amazing because we have lots of new great songs, and, you know, maybe that the chords are too hard, I don't know. But the Lord has been reminding me of old songs, and I've been learning those songs. And it's a great experience to just... And this is not doing anything. I've never had that happen before. Really? Yeah, I've never had it happen before. Oh, come on now. We're not going that back. We're not going archaic on me here, are we? I think I've got it. There we go. Technology is not what it's all cracked up to be, folks. Some of you say, oh, I wish I had one of those. Do you? Amen. Do you really? Anyway, last week in the morning, I was praying, and I didn't know, you know, how long Dad was going to share. I didn't know if it was going to be a five-minute testimony. He has a way of describing an incident in his life, and what normally would take me 2 minutes, he can describe in such great detail. It's like Kodak photographic realism that you get. I mean, it's like there's a piece of lint on the floor. You get that kind of detail about the incident. So I didn't know if it was going to be 3 hours or, you know, 30 minutes or 5 minutes. So, but he did such a great job. He just relied on the Holy Spirit and God spoke through him. But I was praying that morning and the Lord dropped this scripture on my heart. And I thought, wow, I'm going to be sharing this today. And it wasn't last week, but it's for today. And you know, some of you are going to say, well, I've heard you preach on similar things like that before, and that would be true. I don't think I've preached on this exact verse, but again, when the Lord puts a verse on my heart, just like he puts a song on Lynette's heart for worship or someone else's heart or a prophecy, it's for a reason. So I don't know if it's for one person here today or for all of us, but this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 is the verse, but we'll start reading from 22, and we'll just read to the end, and then I'll go back to 23 and just elaborate a little bit. I don't plan on being more than 2 hours, so those, I'm just kidding. Reggie's like, oh my Lord, where's the door? It's right there. No, just kidding. Are you guys ready? Good, because I think I am now. What do you dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy as Israel did? Do you think we are stronger than he is? 23, you say, I'm not allowed to do any. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. This is the New Living Translation. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't think only of your own good. Think of other Christians and what is best for them. Here's what you should do. You may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace. Don't ask whether or not if it was offered to idols, and then your conscience won't be bothered. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a Christian asks you home for dinner, go ahead, accept the invitation. If you want to, eat whatever is offered to you and don't ask any questions about it. Your conscience should not be bothered by this. But suppose someone warns you that this meat has been offered to an idol. Don't eat out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. Now, why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you must do all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. That is the plan I follow too. I try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what I like or what is best for me, but what is best for them so that they may be saved. Now, when he says what here, he's talking about people who are basically abusing the Lord's table and have kind of made it so that it's being like co-mingled with demonic type stuff. And that's when he says, what? Do you dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? But he then goes on, and I think he includes this thought of that when we are doing things for just our own pleasure and not considering those around us, not considering the lives of those around us, that it is like we are, you know, I don't want to say dancing with the demons, but I mean, we're involved in that activity because when we're hurting our brother and sister, that's not Christ. And how many know that if it's not Christ or God, what is the flip side? It is the devil. It's just clear. I've told people before that when they were in our encounter classes and when we were talking about worship, I said, you know, you can worship the Lord or you can worship the devil. Somebody, I don't worship the devil. You know, it's like, I don't go to a satanic church. You don't have to. All you have to do is yield to your fleshly desires, your fleshly greed, your wants, your things that you know don't line up with God, and it's like you're worshiping the devil because you're either glorifying God or glorifying the devil. So that's not what I'm here to talk about, although that kind of plays in. I'm going to look at just a couple of words in this verse 23 because I think it really kind of describes what Paul's talking about here and how we should consider our actions that we do. Now, obviously, this meat sacrifice to idols is really old stuff that we don't really even worry about anymore. I mean, we don't go to the market and we get discounted meat because it had already been sacrificed to temples and idols. You know, we don't, this doesn't happen. If we're getting discounted meats because it's old and decaying and, you know, and you shouldn't eat it probably anyway. But the point being is that we don't really have anything like that anymore in our lives, but we have things that relate to it. There are other things that are accepted and are fine in our culture. You know, I would say, you know, one of them being especially nowadays, is what's being accepted in our culture is that people are not getting married. People are just, you know, finding a mate and they just start living together. And they make that their home and they make that their family. And maybe sometimes years later they get married. But our culture is kind of really accepting that. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, you can't say that's good. Well, it's not good. But one thing that I've learned is that it's not just what you do that condemns you. It's how you view what you do. Are you viewing things in your life that are trapping you and causing you to stumble and fall as, for lack of a better term, as a thing that you're resisting God with? Or are you looking at it as it's a chain or a shackle and you want to be free from it? Because if that's the case, if it's something that you don't want to be a part of, then you should not be condemned. You should receive the grace and the empowerment to walk away from it. You don't have to be bound to it. But on the other end, you don't have to let that condemn you. Do you see what I'm saying? Even though you're trapped and you're chained to a vice in your life, and it by some could be, if they were trapped and chained to that, they would say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm doing that, and they would feel condemned. Doesn't matter what they think. Matters about your own heart. Matters about what's going on inside of you. And this is important because we live in a day where for a long time, it has been about what we do and what we say and how we act is the way that we were then able to view ourselves as Christians. Whether we were right with God or whether God loved us, I mean, it was just the way it was. You know, and one of the things that I know a lot of people have struggled with as Christians has been smoking. And because of that, they let that addiction, they let that habit, a lot of times they had it before they got saved. And some get saved and the addiction goes away just like that. And the ones that happens to looks at the brother and says, well, dude, what's wrong with you? Come on. I mean, I got saved. I never picked another pack up. Well, that was your walk. So you're going to start judging your brother based on your walk and not God? That's dangerous. We should not judge our brothers and sisters based on our standards. Come on, our standards? That's like throwing stones and you live in a glass house, not wise. At least that's what I've heard. Gonna come crashing down. No, what we need to do is realize that God loves us. That is the key to everything. For God so loved the world. Now you could even put that, God loved the sinful world, because at that time it was full of sin when he sent Jesus. It was not a redeemed place when he sent his son. His son came to redeem it, but God loved the world so much that in all of its mess, Jesus came. And Jesus came in such a way that he bore our sins. He bore our disgrace. He bore our affliction. He bore everything bad that should happen to us. He took upon himself, including our bondages. He carried the weight of our bondages as well. He became sin, it says, who knew no sin. He became bondages who knew no bondage. You think of every kind of sin possible to man, and you make it as hideous as you want. For some reason, God the Father let the Son become that. So we got no place to judge our brothers who are sisters who are trapped in vices. So I want to make that clear, because sometimes people can hear these messages and go, oh man, I'm horrible. That's not what this message is. This message is not to say, just stop that. Don't do that. This message is to say, you're stronger than that. You're better than that. That the God of all creation lives inside of you, and you don't have to succumb to that. And consider your brothers and sisters when you do that. Does that make sense? So, you say, I am allowed to do anything. That is a mantra a little bit in the body of Christ right now. Grace, liberty, freedom, I can do anything. You know, God's going to forgive me. Well, that as that truth is true, it should not be the license to do what you do. Do you see what I'm saying? Paul's saying here, yeah, you can do anything, but not everything is helpful. Another word for that would be expedient. Now listen to this. It means to properly combine in a way that brings a profit or gain. So if you're doing something, and I know I'm using vague generalities, let's just say, because it's something the body of Christ has kind of accepted again as a standard, say drinking. I mean, obviously illegal drugs, you can say, well, it's I have liberty in Christ. I mean, come on. Obey the laws of the land. You know, don't destroy your body with, you know, substances, narcotics, you know. Folks, even food, you know, in excess can kill you. So, but the point being, let's just say alcohol, because in the body of Christ, that's starting to become kind of an accepted standard. And I preached last year, if you want to hear a message on that, I think it's still on the internet, but it's basically called, what is it? Something royalty. It's like the behavior of royalty, conduct of royalty. We're considered priests, kings. We're considered prophets to this lost and dying world. And in the Bible, it's very clear about kings shouldn't even be connecting with strong drink, because they need to have a clear mind to be able to make wise decisions and to rule with wisdom. And so he's saying, you know, let the people who have no hope drink. That's what Lemuel's, I think King Lemuel in Proverbs 30 or 31, his mom says to him. But let's just talk about drink. You know, it's not going to send you to hell. Drinking. It's not. And Paul would say, it's allowed. Now, what did Pastor Mike say? I mean, it is. You can do it if you want. Right? It's free in this nation to do that. I mean, we're not in prohibition anymore. But is it expedient? Is it beneficial? How much good comes out of alcohol? Can somebody tell me? Very little. Maybe you've been shot with a bullet and they're going to pour alcohol in the wound or they're going to help numb you with it. That's about the limits, I would say. You know, some would say, well, it's really enjoyable. It was a Diet Coke or a pop. You know, it's like, you don't necessarily, you know, I used to say, oh, I love, I've come from being a Christian and drinking just every now and then, even as a pastor. And I've got to the place where I don't even have any desire for it anymore. And I'm not putting that on you. I'm trying to help us get this point that I believe the Lord wants to share today with us. You may have another thing that he's pointing at you. You need to consider your brothers and sisters when you do this. Or maybe it's coming up and the Lord will remind you of this scripture. But I used to, you know, drink like, I think it was a Hefeweizen is what it was. And my whole thing used to be, I loved it with, you know, especially German food. You know, it had a great taste. That's what I told myself. And it's like, you know, you kind of just say, oh, I love it, you know. But now that I haven't had, I mean, I don't miss it. Matter of fact, I think I had to make myself like that kind of stuff. Anybody else? So it's allowed. I think another translation says, it's permissible. In other words, you can do it, but what good comes out of it? What good comes out of it? Years ago, I don't know if I told this story before, but years ago, I was in a church, and it was permissible. And I was fairly new Christian, and we were having I think it was a New Year's celebration in the Lord. And so, being the free, liberated Christians that we were, I think we went and got like, you know, as couples got some kind of wine or something like that. Well, unbeknownst to me, this couple that we were with, the husband, was an ex-alcoholic. And so my liberty became his stumbling. By the end of the night, he was on the floor wrapped around the toilet puking because he had overindulged because it just awakened every bad thing in him. Basically, what I did is I ate my meat before him and I never considered his conscience or considered his life. So I'm saying shame on me right now. So that wasn't beneficial. That wasn't helpful. What I did there did not help or profit or expedite my brother's growth. If anything, it brought him down. So you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. This other word is edify. Now listen to this. It's a house being built up. To build a house, to lay a strong foundation, also means literally to build someone else up, helping them to stand and be strong and sturdy. So that is really our judgment point. When we're doing something that the world says is okay to do, that maybe even the other Christians say, well, it's fine, we can do that. Liberty. The grace of God, the freedom of God. Don't worry about it. We're good. It's good. You ever heard that from people? I have. You know, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. And you put the blank in there, you know. Again, this is not to condemn. If the devil's tapping on your shoulder saying, see, I told you so. You're a bum. You're a rotten. That's not what I'm saying. That's the enemy of your soul, and flick him off. God loves you. But God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to cause another one that he loves just as much as he loves you to stumble and fall and hurt. Is this making sense? If it can't build someone up, then why do it? Hey, let's go a further step. Today, you have a lot of people who have fun kidding each other all the time, poking fun at each other, you know, and stuff, and jabbing little digs and stuff. If it's not building your brother up, if it's tearing them down, now I know you can kid around, and I do it a little bit, and you're not hurting them. But you know what I mean. You start digging, all of a sudden you see their countenance change. Start to see, oh dear, I maybe said something I shouldn't have. Just having fun. Everybody does it. Everybody teases each other. But if it's not building someone up, then why do it, right? Can you see Jesus teasing somebody that hurts their heart? I can't see it happening. I can see him poking fun and kidding around, but I don't see him doing something that's going to hurt someone else's heart. Now listen to this. This is the crux of the matter. Don't think only for your own good. Think of other Christians and what is best for them. Can we do that? Can we start thinking of not only ourselves, but we think of others? Another scripture says to put your brothers and sisters before you, to prefer them over you. That's hard to do, to even prefer them over you. Let their needs in their life be more important than your needs. That's another place in Scripture. But if we can't do that, can we at least think of their good? Can we at least consider what is best for them? Can we do that? Because I think it's important if we do. Listen to this. Here's what you should do. You may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace, but don't ask whether or not it was offered to idols, and then your conscience won't be bothered. In other words, what this is, when you do something that maybe you don't know about, and you offend somebody, and you don't even know you're offending them, you know, there's kind of a grace covering you there. But when you find out that you're doing something, and folks, it may not even be a vice, it may just be like something in your character, your conduct. and someone says, you know, that offended me, I think for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's not do that anymore. At least not around them. I've heard some people say, well, you know, that's on them. This is the way God made me. This is the way I am. And that's on them. What's on them? I mean, think of that statement. That curse is on them? I don't know. That's on them. They have to deal with it. Why do they have to deal with it? Why do you have to push it off on somebody else to have to, I guess, change the way they think about you? I like to say this. Listen, as you're the spiritual one, if it's been put on your heart, if you've heard a message about it, now you be the one to step it up. You be the one to say, you know what, if that bothers somebody, I'm not going to do it. If saying that offends somebody, I won't say it. If doing this over here hurts someone, then I won't do it. Can't we be people of faith? Can't we consider and love one another? Again, the Lord put this on my heart. Just out of the blue, just dropped this scripture in my heart. I wasn't reading 1 Corinthians 10 and all of a sudden it jumped off the page. This just like popped in my heart last week. So I believe it wasn't able to be preached last week. So it's for someone here today, maybe for more than one. And folks, if the Lord's bringing this up, then he's got a real important reason for it being said. Not to condemn you. Please hear that. To challenge you. You're better than that. Jesus has empowered you. You come into the very throne room. You receive grace and truth from him. And now you can walk in a liberty and a freedom that you don't have to be entangled with things that others are entangled with. Listen, if you look at something and if you can go to the very end of it and it's still good, then participate in it. But if you see something and that's not good there. That's bad. You might as well just drop it like a bad habit. Don't get involved in it. Now, is Pastor Mike telling you do's and don'ts? No, I'm letting the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks. I used an example because that happened to me. But let God speak to your heart what maybe you are involved with. And then as you hear, what is the next thing to do? Obey. And how do you obey? You don't say, yes, master, I hear and I obey. You don't do it that way because now you're putting yourself under rules. You say, Holy Spirit, you've put this on my heart. I ask you now to empower me with strength from above that will enable me to live this out because I can't do this on my own. I can't yield to what you're saying in my own natural mind and body, my own abilities. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. You're inside of me. You dwell and you live in me. Now I ask you to help me live this truth out that you've just presented to me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that I believe right now that you're touching hearts, touching lives, Lord, and empowering them, Lord, to come out of, Lord, the norm and come out of things that have caused others to hurt and stumble. Maybe family members, maybe co-workers, maybe fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know who it is, Lord. So I just pray right now, God, that you would allow them to look at a circumstance, a situation, something that they may be doing or saying, and go, is this beneficial? Does this build up? Or does this tear down? And as you reveal the truth to them, Lord, empower them to live through with what you show them. Show them, God, that with you, all things are possible. In just man, it's not possible, but with you, all things are possible. And I just release a grace upon your people now to live out, Lord, your word. We thank you, Jesus, for an amazing time with you. We thank you, Lord, that as we go home, we still abide in your presence. And we just receive all the grace, Lord, that comes from a relationship as sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless. You can pick up your kids downstairs, your kids though, so.